Gotcha!
All right, game on.
So welcome to the Bass and Treble Podcast. My name is Neil.
And I'm Steve.
And we're not going to cover any specific album this week.
That's right. Instead, we're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They released their list of nominees this week for the 2016 induction ceremony. And I think there's about 15 different artists that we can cover this week instead of one specific album. It's a little bit of a break from the norm, but I think it's a good subject to cover and talk about.
Yeah, and it also gives the inductees a long time to be disappointed if they don't get picked. So
from now until February, they're going to be crossing their fingers.
So we're calling this the first annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Inductee Review Podcast. Wow.
Woo!
Woo! Awesome. So if you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and do that. Plus, you can follow us on Twitter at Bass Treble Pod and like us on Facebook, Bass and Treble Podcast, for more daily content.
I'm going to take the lead here and start with a little pop quiz. I know we didn't really discuss this beforehand, but we're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm not good at quizzes, Steve.
I'm going to throw this random question out there. It's kind of vague, but I want to see what you have to say. What is rock and roll? It's kind of a broad term. In your personal opinion, what is rock and roll?
The best answer I have for it, I think rock and roll is, I think it's gone past just being the early stages of it was called rock and roll and that's what's called rock and roll, and it's not rock around the clock tonight, and it's not things with the word rock in them. Although some bands do own more to using rock in their name, I think rock and roll is just defined by music that is memorable, accepted as influential and timeless and worthy of being called rock and roll. So, for example, certain things that are non-memorable, music from other decades or this decade that in 10 years, you know, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, they came out with a new album. That's cool. That is, to me, not rock and roll. That has its other genre. It has whatever the heck it wants to call. Once it gets into that, like, oh, yeah, did you hear this person's coming out with this record or this came out? That person now is making rock and roll to me. So there you go. That's my answer.
That answer was a lot deeper than I expected for putting you on the spot. Sounds like you had that ready to go. Yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. I kind of say rock and roll is an attitude more than anything else. And it always has been from, you know, the early days of rocking around the clock. Now I kind of see what you're saying. It's anything that generates a buzz, anything that people get excited about. It's more than just guitars and drums and bass.
Well, it's not what you or me call it. So, like, we don't define rock and roll. We all define rock and roll, and it defines itself. I like how you said it's an attitude. That makes sense. For example, like, I might not be a big Joan Jett fan, but there's no doubt that's rock and roll. Like, she's got the attitude.
She embodies rock and roll.
Right.
She's got that attitude. She's got the leather vest. She's got,
I don't have to like it.
I don't give a care air.
You don't have to like it. It's all about, is it rock and roll? And I think as the term has been broadened, there's been people that have been offended by it. And no, rock and roll is this, and no, rock and roll is that. And rock and roll purists, similar to all other purists, which just don't get it. It's a little deeper than just genre naming.
Well, yeah, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but, you know, there are rap artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's, you know, of course, not without its fair share of controversy. But you're right. It kind of broadens the definition a little bit just based on that attitude. It's music that has a buzz about it. It moves people.
Absolutely. So tell us a little more about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and its inductee process. Explain how that whole process kind of starts off, Steve-O.
So, of course, there's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's based in Cleveland, Ohio. You and I just took a trip there over the summer. It's been there since 1983, and it is a museum, basically, for rock and roll. There's all sorts of artifacts. There's all sorts of costumes that were worn either on stage or in music videos. There's a bunch of really cool instruments that were used over the years on specific albums.
You might even call them artifacts at this point. They're so old. Artifacts
yeah,
and articles of endearment and timelessness. One thing that I thought about when we were going there is how much emotion is tied into just simple little items that they would have on display. You know, if you saw them like at a thrift store, you'd be like, oh, whatever. When you see it behind this glass case and it gets the story of, oh, that's Joe Walsh's bag full of keys that he stole from every hotel that he stayed on. I'm like, what? Like, bag full of keys.
It's the Mellotron, this instrument that I had never heard of before that the Beatles used on some of their most popular songs.
That I about died when I saw it. I'm like, what? No way. Strawberry Fields was recorded on this. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that Mellotron, just the whole idea of that, how that instrument is made and what it does, kind of blew my mind.
Right, in 1983, that's pretty new.
Yeah, it's been around for just a little while. So what else can I tell you about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Every year they nominate, I guess, between 10 and 20 nominees, but generally they only induct about 8 or 9 per per year. So there is a nominee and then election process. And the way that works is artists become eligible 25 years after the release of their first record. It doesn't matter when you became popular, like Green Day, for example. They were inducted last year, and just like last week, we were talking about Dookie, which was their breakout album, which I guess is about 21 years old, but they had albums even before that. So technically, they released their first record 25 years ago, but it's not a matter of when you became popular. So a lot of the bands and artists who were up this year came out 25 years ago, although a lot of us probably didn't hear about them until years after that.
The criteria as far as them getting nominated is really like the scope of their influence and significance that they had as far as contributing to development and perpetuation of rock and roll. So, you know, you've got bands that probably have never been nominated, and I'm a little mystique by all that. We're not going to answer that question on this podcast as far as who decides who to nominate, but there's something to be said there that there's probably, I mean, not probably, there is definitely in the Library of Congress musicians that 25 years ago released albums and don't have the same kind of influence or haven't helped to continue rock and roll on its path.
Yep. Each of the nominees are kind of split up into a few different categories. So of course there is the performers, you know, the typical front men, the guys who you'd expect to see. And these are inducted by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's foundation has their own nominating committee. Each year, these ballots are sent to 600 artists around the world, and these people are members of the music industry, whether they're historians or performers themselves. They send out these ballots to 600 people. Once the ballots are returned, tallied up, whoever gets the highest number of votes are inducted. That's, you know, pretty much the most popular category, the one that you expect to see, are the performers, and they're voted on by other performers and historians and members of the industry.
That's cool. And that first category of performers, as we found out when we visited, could be the artist by themselves, could be the group as far as themselves, could be the group plus the other art. Like Bruce Springsteen's been inducted like 8 times. You have like so many different ways of getting in. And that group of 600 artists, I'm curious if once you get into the hall, if you become one of those artists. And another thing is that I'm pretty sure they make it kind of a multiple choice thing, because we all know these musicians are way too banged up or in rehab to write in band names. The next category, early influences. So these are artists that probably nobody's ever heard of because they just predate rock and roll as we know it, but they had an impact on the evolution of the music and they inspired other leading artists. It's a good category. I think it's one that when I look at artists I really like, you know, Led Zeppelin being one of them, they talk about artists that are like Delta blues artists and this and that, people that nobody knows.
But without their influence, Led Zeppelin never would have come around.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They might not be the most popular out there and not everyone's heard of them, but their influence is definitely felt.
Right. And the Beatles were influenced by a musical style called skiffle in Britain. Skiffle, Steve. Do you know what skiffle is?
No, I have no idea, but I should listen to some skiffle and see what it's all about.
Skiffle and Ollie.
So the next category is non-performers. They changed the name of the non-performer category to the Ahmet Ertegun Award back in 2001. The whole idea of this category is that these are non-performers. These are people behind the scenes. We're talking about songwriters, producers, DJs, record executives, and journalists, and people from other industries who have had some sort of impact on music, whether or not they're actually performers.
Yeah, actually, Ahmet Ertegun, I don't know if I should say his name, he founded Atlantic Records, and they did a memorial concert, and the members of Led Zeppelin and Jason Bottom played a one-off show in his honor in 2010, and so they changed it to his name. More to the category, this is all the people that really weren't on stage, like all the backroom players, all the guys that they don't get the same kind of notoriety, but are important to the process nevertheless. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool that they include these guys. You're more of a performer, but I've always been a backstage kind of guy, and it's cool that their work is considered.
Yeah, it's definitely valued. I kind of equate it to like maybe an athlete who has the athlete and then the agent. The athlete gets all the notoriety, but without the agent, the athlete wouldn't be able to function all the way. Without the managers, the athlete wouldn't be able to do those things. You know, there's all these people in the background that normally don't get the same kind of love. It's cool that they do that, for sure. And the last category used to have a different name, right? It was used to be called Sidemen, which seems extremely sexist, but whatever.
I still kind of like that name. Sidemen to me is like, you know, the guy's backing up the main man.
Right.
But at the same time, like a lot of these, you don't have to be front and center.
So these are people that perform but just wouldn't be recognized as the leading person in a group. I think a lot of these, and I was looking through some of the people of recent years since 2011, so Leon Russo, Cosimo Matassa, Tom Dowd, Glyn Johns, E Street Band, Ringo Starr, just to name a few there, but those are all guys that I guess were not the, you know, when you think of the Beatles, yeah, everybody knows who Ringo Starr is from the Beatles, but it was was always John and Paul. And poor George, they used to tell him what notes to play.
And the president of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Foundation, he said this award gives us flexibility to dive into some things and recognize some people who might not ordinarily get recognized.
Right, and they could probably mix it up too, right? Because they could be like award for musical excellence, wild card award that they could give to performers that don't have recognition. Or, for example, Leon Russell's worked with everybody, played piano for a ton of different artists. You don't know he's there. He's in the background.
And then on the other hand, you've got Ringo Starr, who also won this award, who was one of the Beatles. And again, they just decided, hey, you're so special that we're going to give you a separate award in this special category.
Yeah, he needed more love than he's already gotten. But there's a lot of people that I can think of in that list. I was thinking of James Jamerson, the bass player for a lot of Motown songs, the guy who did all the Jackson 5 bass lines.
Those are funky. Those are some of my favorite.
He's amazing. The guy is like a legend, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had won the award at some point, or maybe he's actually just in the Hall of Fame for being just a performer.
Then the last category that we have here is Lifetime Achievement. This, again, kind of rounds out all these different categories. If you're not a front man or a side man or behind the scenes, these are the top-level guys who have been doing this for their life, and they've spent their life creating important and memorable music. Their originality, impact, and influence have changed the course of music history. These artists have achieved the highest level of distinction that transcends time. Those are strong words, dude.
Yeah,
it
is.
Top of the top.
I think a lot of the times they give these out posthumously.
Yeah, I think that last line kind of pegs it. These artists have achieved the highest level of distinction that transcends time. Dude, I want to transcend time someday.
And instead of Lifetime Achievement Award, maybe someday I can give you a Lifetime Achievement Award. Boom, that just happened.
I would graciously accept that.
Your face wasn't of disgust, it was of acceptance. Wow, it's good to know. So let's run down through these artists. I'll let you explain what you set up here because I thought it was pretty creative for us to go over the artists.
All right. So the whole idea came about. There is 15 nominees this year. And on any given year, there's an average of about, 8 or 9 inductees. That's why they're nominees. Not everyone gets in. So I drew up this little chart. Here's all the artists. And here's who I think is going to get in. And then I kind of blanked that out and let you put in yours. And for the most part, I think we were kind of on point. I think we agreed for... Mm-hmm. Most of these, but there were a few in here which we'll get to where we had different ideas on who should get in. Let's take it from the top. I mean, if we're going in alphabetical order.
This isn't like an order of best to worst or anything, just so everybody knows. We're just going from A to Z. Well, from C to Y, but yeah. There's a lot of C's in this list this year.
It's a big year for C's.
It's a big year for C's. Anyway, Steve, the first band is one that I think we both really dig. And why do you like the Cars? What makes you like the Cars so much?
Because they have such a wide repertoire. They have a lot of hit songs. It's one of those bands that you might know a song here and there, but once you line them all up back to back to back, you realize, wow, these guys have done a lot with their career. They were active from 76 to 88 for the most part, which is what, 12 years? But
yeah.
If you take a look at those 12 years, they crammed in a lot of good stuff. They were, the voice of the 80s. They embodied a lot of the 80s.
For sure. They remind me like a better version of Devo. More rock and better singing, just yes. Less Casio-style keyboard. They have great hooks in all their songs. Their melodies are really awesome. And it doesn't matter if the song's like dark or not dark. That's not always the case in New Wave. There's a lyric in the song Let's Go, which is my favorite song, where he says, I like the nightlife, baby. And it gets me every time.
What's not to love about that?
And it's in the verse. It's not even the chorus. And not unfortunately, but their most recognized song, Just What I Needed, where did that get overplayed? And there was a Circuit City commercial in the 90s where it was like that cheesy shift, like, we've got what you need. And I think they went out of business once they had to pay them the royalties.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But yeah, they have a lot of good songs, and totally, I think for both of us, they're in, or yeah, we think they would be.
Two thumbs up.
Your favorite band is second on the list, Steve.
No, just the opposite. We are completely in agreement that they will not make it this year. All right, so they're Chic, following with the C's here. They've been nominated 9 times for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they haven't yet become an inductee, probably because they suck.
Terribly.
This year is their 10th nomination, actually. If they don't make it this time, they'll officially become the most nominated act not to earn an induction. Now, the reason why they suck so much is very simple, actually. I can narrow it down to one word: disco.
You know, I tried. Like, I tried really, really hard to listen to Chic, and all I'm gonna say is that there's good reason they haven't been nominated. Their music is just, like, repetitive, and it's boring. Like, it's not even decent disco. It's not like the Bee Gees, where I can at least, you know, there's something. And later on, we'll talk more when we get to our sucky song of the day. And that song will have you saying, oy vey, where they hired a rabbi for the chorus. It's amazing.
Oh, God. Full of suck. The next band we both gave a thumbs up for. This one, we're in agreement. These guys are Chicago. And I think out of all of the bands that use a location or a state or a city for their name, these guys are the best. You think about Boston and Kansas and Alabama, they all kind of make my blood boil to varying amounts. But Chicago is a whole different story. Chicago seems to have it together. I don't know if it's Peter Cetera's smooth vocals or what it is exactly, but Chicago earns a thumbs up from both of us.
You know, this morning I got stuck in traffic on my way to work. I started listening to Chicago, and I'm like, wow, these guys, they freaking rock. It's like Seals and Croft and Cream had a baby.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, that's perfect. I don't think I could say it any better. You get the mellow side of Seals and Croft, and you throw the guitar jams of Cream, and you come up with Chicago.
You know, they're guilty of some corny ballads.
So was every band at this time.
25 or 6 to 4, which I don't think either of us looked up to understand why that's called that.
Oh, 25 or 6 to 4? It has something to do with the time. I think someone asked him what time it was, and I don't know how that makes
any
sense.
Wow, he must have been high. Yeah, wow, he's on drugs.
But hey, it's
got so many interesting parts and rhythm, and the horns just drive me nuts. But real quick, I know we haven't done this for anybody else, but I think they deserve some mentions for songs like Saturday in the Park and If You Leave Me Now, and Hard to Say I'm Sorry, which I can sing all the way through. It's a power ballad, I hate to say it, but I love that song. Like, it's such a great song.
Yeah, because it's Peter Cetera. That is Peter Cetera at his finest.
Side note about Chicago, I thought they did the theme song for the show Cheers. Apparently it was some guy named Gary Portnoy. Because you know how the logos kind of look the same with Chicago and Cheers? I think I visually, like, put them in my brain. But no, it's Gary Portnoy. Rock and jazz and blues mixed together, and they're not at all annoying. Really want to tell you I'm sorry. I could never let you go. After all that we've been through, I will make it up to you.
We have one more C band, and this one, I do believe, sucks. Now, I think these are the ones, out of all the bands that we both voted no for, I think, to be honest, they might have the best chance of getting in. Cheap Trick does have a very strong following. If you like Cheap Trick, you love Cheap Trick. But as far as you and I go, we are not one of them. Even though they have a bunch of good songs, and they can rock out, and they have a strong following, I just can't give them this nomination.
You're absolutely right. It's not that I don't think they deserve to get in, is what I'm trying to say. But I don't think they'll get in this time. I really don't. And we're just not fans. The inductee profile really put it in the best way possible. They somehow bridged the gap, and I'm reading this off the website, they somehow bridged the gap between the fierce clowning of early punk and the accidental on purpose humor of metal without ever sounding a bit like either. Then they go on to say, some of their studio albums are better than others, but they have never made anything like a bad one, and they will all rock you till your eyes bulge out. Promise.
They might not have made a bad one, but they sure have made a lot of mediocre ones.
That's a promise that they cannot keep, dude. It's not rocking me out, and they're really not anything. Like, it's like they try to be, don't get me wrong, like, they're good musicians and everything. It's just, the guitarist pisses me off too. He's got this weird shtick where he dresses like, what's the cheeseburger in Paradise? Dresses like Jimmy Buffett. Kind of like Jimmy
Hawaiian
Buffett on
crack.
Yeah, polka dots, guitars, and like, I don't know. It's just really shtickish, and they got a couple good songs, right? Dream Police, I Want You to Want Me.
Surrender's
and they have Surrender.
Okay.
No, dude, Surrender's the opposite of okay. That whole, you know, it reminds me of Twisted Sister a little bit. It's got that
I can't disagree with
Spinal
that.
Tap feel to it, where it's like, why are you singing? Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Surrender, of all those songs for the key changes. So they're mediocre, so.
Two thumbs down for Cheap Trick.
Big time.
All right, we've officially made it past the C's.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's it. No more
well,
C.
Well,
bands.
Later on we have a C, we have something with a C, but they couldn't put five in a row or four in a row. But
okay, we'll get there. So the next, we're moving on. This next band is actually the first one where you and I differed. We have different thoughts about Deep Purple.
And why? I just think it's because they're a 70s band, right? Is that part of it? It's just you don't like their sound? Or do you just really think they don't have enough music? Like, what's
I think that's exactly it. Everybody knows Deep Purple is Smoke on the Water. That guitar riff in Smoke on the Water is legendary. You can hear it anywhere and know exactly what they're talking about. But that's the only song I know about. And you and I were talking about them for a little while, and they do have other hits, but none of them are quite popular enough to make it into, you know, general knowledge of most people. And they need a little bit more of a stronger repertoire, I think, if they're going to make it.
Yeah, I think where I disagree is that I don't think popularity is necessarily where it lies. I mean, they've sold somewhere between 30 and 70 million albums. I really couldn't find the exact stat online. You're right. They don't have as deep or widely recognized a catalog as Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath. But musically speaking, Ritchie Blackmore's guitar playing and Ian Gillan singing on songs like Smoke on the Water and Space Trucking, that's extremely influential when it comes to like metal music and hard rock. Those guys are pioneers. And Ian Gillan was doing things that the other two bands weren't, and the way he's singing, which you see a lot of metal today. At Highway Star, which surprisingly enough wasn't as big of a hit as I thought it was when we were talking, is just an epic freaking blue, like progressive blues hard rock, which, you know, they were just pioneers at the time. That's all I'm saying. There are a lot of things going on, but to challenge your musical thought of they don't have enough hit songs, think of a band like Cream. They have Sunshine of Your Love, White Room. What other really popular song do they have other than that?
They have Eric Clapton. What else do you need? Enough said.
Right. But they're a small band. Like, they had, what, two albums? They had Disraeli Gears and Fresh Cream. Like, they had, like, two or three albums, and it's kind of similar to me. Like, they were very influential, even if they didn't move on to do other things. And according to the Rock Hall's website, they've sold over 100 million albums, and their track Smoke on the Water eclipses Satisfaction, Porter Run, and Smells Like Teen Spirit as the number one greatest guitar riff of all time.
I can agree with that in certain ways. Smoke on the Water could be the number one greatest guitar riff of all time. Not going to argue that point. But look at what you compared it against. Rolling Stone's Satisfaction, Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run, and Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit. On any of those three albums, I could name at least three or four tracks off the top of my head. Smoke on the Water, aside from the title track, what else do they have?
Highway Star, other the Space Trucking, they're all on the same album. But anyways, it's okay. We can agree to disagree. I think they're going to get in because if they don't get in, it's because the rest of the acts are afraid that they could, you know, kick their ass and eat their heart, because that's just Deep Purple. They're hardcore, man. They're the most hardcore band on this whole thing. Maybe there's another more hardcore band, but I don't know if you consider them a band. It's just a dude. Anyways, that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, next on the list, we have Janet Jackson, my personal favorite out of this entire list. She comes from a musical family, she's got music in her blood, she's got the legend behind her, and she made it work. She started out when she was just a little kid and kept the hits coming.
Yeah, this is my corporate and surefire pick. Like, I don't know a lot of Janet Jackson, bro, but, you know, I'm going to tell you that it's probably good. And, I mean, I know she can sing. I just, synthetic drums, like, I tried listening to it and the synthetic drums were driving me nuts. I told you before in the podcast, I think, to me, she's like, kind of like Madonna-ish. It's that same era. It has that cool sound to it, and she's a good singer. Just
she's got more than that. She's kind of the whole package. She's an entertainer and performer. You see her on stage, and she brings the energy. She's a dancer. That
she was
also
sexy
kinda
as hell, too.
Oh,
yeah,
I haven't even gotten to that.
Oh, sorry.
But yes,
cut you
she
off
was
there.
Sexy as hell, and still is. She's
right.
Approaching her, what, late 40s, probably, and still has it rocking.
Yeah, Steve, you'll be like that in your late 40s, bro. You never change. You haven't changed in the, I don't know how many years that I've known you. All you do is just grow more hair on your face, or right now.
I'll be the Janet Jackson of the next decade.
I mean, I'm not saying you'll be sexy as hell, but you just won't change much in the way that.
Well, that's exactly what Janet does. I Don't know if I should admit this to the world, but I've been on a Janet Jackson kick lately. She just released another album.
There's nothing wrong with that. Unless you think there's something wrong with that.
Hey, Janet Jackson was with me from the start. She was one of the very first CDs I ever got. I had the cassette version of Rhythm Nation 1814. I listened to that way too much, or just enough. But yeah, Janet Jackson has a strong musical history, and she's still kicking it. Her new album just came out last week, Unbreakable. It was the first one in something like 7 years, and it still hit number one, debuted at number one on the charts.
Yeah, she'll get in. She'll probably end up getting one of those... like when we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they had that Madonna, like pictures of Madonna thing going on. Remember that? It was like pretty sweet. It was just a bunch of portraits of Madonna. Steve was walking around with his mouth scraping the ground because it's like hot 1980s, 1990s Madonna all over the wall. Now she's like a sex robot that gets her AAA batteries replaced every like 3 days. She looks the way she does, but yeah, we agree. She's definitely in, and she might even be kind of, I don't know if she'd be the headline entrance, but it's possible. I mean, of all these other groups,
I think she'd kind of be the poster child for this year's
nominees. She sold like a ton of records and is really well recognized. So
yeah, I mean, if you had to choose one artist that is the headliner, we had Green Day last year, we had Nirvana the year before that, and this year out of this entire list, I think it's going to be Janet Jackson.
So the next band is the JBs, and I wanted to pick them as my 10th Yes band. I don't think you were wavering, and I'd like to know why. Like, I know you know a little bit about this band, and why you hating? Why don't you like them?
No, you're absolutely wrong. I don't know anything about them. Before we mentioned them on our first podcast. Just a few weeks ago, and before then, I had no idea who they were.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I wanted to pick them, and I did listen to them, and it's hilarious, because it's basically, you see why Parliament Funkadelic came from the JBs. I mean, this is the band with Bootsy Collins and his brother, Catfish, and they got that stage name, the JBs, when they backed up James Brown. I didn't know that later on they released all this other music. Some of them, the title song now is called Pass the Peas, and it is just like, totally just like, funky 1970s, like super corny funk, kind of neat. And so I think that's why I wanted to vote him in. It was not so much because I know all about the JBs, but I was like, hey, Parliament Funkadelic came out of these guys, and I know they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they really did some really important songs for James Brown. So I don't know. I feel like they're definitely a sleeper pick.
What I also don't like about them is what I found out. The very first thing I found out about the JBs is that they walked out on James Brown. Now, I understand James Brown could be a very demanding guy, hardest working man in show business. But you don't walk out on the man. You negotiate, you find a way to work it out. My first impression of these guys was that they failed. Sorry, we can't take it. We can't take all the pressure. The very little that I know about them doesn't seem to be so appealing.
I think they walked out on them because they just didn't pay them their money, you know? And like ODB says, you know, bitch better have my money. Ow!
ODB knows everything.
He knows everything to do.
He's a wise man.
I think they're a sleeper, man. I really do. And I think the funny thing is that Wikipedia already gave them the award for musical excellence.
Well, that might be on purpose. I think that sometimes they have these yearly awards, or the ones that they give out on special occasions, and they're already pre-planned. There's no nomination process for certain categories, I think. So they might have already just been the shoe-in for this one specific category.
That is quite possibly true. You're absolutely right. The next artist on the list that we also sort of disagreed on, even though I put no for the JBs, Chaka Khan. Steve, what the hell is so special about Chaka Khan? You told me she's a living legend, and I don't know what that means. Explain.
Yeah, Chaka Khan, everything she puts out has a hook to it. Like, a lot of stuff you might not even know, you've heard it before in other ways.
And I don't know, you say you don't like disco, but I feel for you, just sounds like disco to me.
This is a little past disco. This might be cheesy 80s. It's borderline disco. It's kind of like holdover from the disco era into the cheesy 80s era. She straddles that line very well.
I think, to me, I mean, I know she probably has all these other songs, but...
Yeah, even if you don't know her, you know her. What's it? Through the Fire is a song that's not quite as popular, but anyone who knows Kanye knows Through the Wire, which is a breakout hit. And he stole that directly from Chaka Khan.
But that's like saying that, you know, Puffy and the Family's sampled songs should all go in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know. It's just weird justification for why you give it a why. I'm just saying. I understand she's an R&B singer. Ain't Nobody's a jam. I'll give her that one. Ain't nobody. That's a good song. But to me, it's like all her songs are just bumping grind music from the 80s. Can you tell me a story, hopefully not as creepy, as to how you learned about Chaka Khan? Like, were you trying to get in someone's, you know, where? And, like, we're like...
It really boils down to that song, I Feel For You, because the first 3 seconds of it is just kind of like a remix. The guy going, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. And they say her name so many songs and so many times in that song that it got stuck in my head. It's like, I don't know who Chaka Khan is, but now I do.
Yeah, she's like, she sounds like that song would have been stadium music in like the 80s, like background stadium music in between plays, like at a basketball game. That's just me. Her real name is Yvette Marie Stevens. And I found that out because I was like, there's no way her real name is Chaka Khan. Like, there's no way.
Well, another reason that I like her. Her last name is Stevens. My first name is Steven. What's not
the love? We did this last week where I was mentioning Waylon Jennings, and you said, can't trust anybody. His name is Waylon. You said, last name Jennings.
Still believe it.
Next band, I'll let you say the name of this band because I like to hear you speak Spanish on occasion.
Los Lobos. What does that mean? The wolves in Spanish?
The wolves, yeah. Oh, weird band. Like, I was trying to listen. I was like, whoa, they're like Tejano Santana and Duran Duran. Like, I'm like, whoa.
We agree with this one here. We both gave them a thumbs down. Los Lobos will not make it in this year. Although I think there could be a technicality here, because I know that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does like to celebrate diversity. So it's not always the purebred rock and rollers. Los Lobos has enough of a spin to them where they might want to include some Tejano Santana.
If you want diversity, you look no farther than the next artist on the list, Steve Miller. I love Steve Miller. So many songs. So many good songs. I don't even think I need to mention it. I think they're shoo-in. Like, it's just a shoo-in it. Why is it Steve Miller and not Steve Miller Band? Do they do that often, I guess? Are they, like, will Dave Matthews be inducted as Dave Matthews and not Dave Matthews Band?
Bruce Springsteen was inducted without the E Street Band at first.
Right, but it's just, he had a band, like he wasn't playing by himself, right? It's weird to me that they put it like Steve Miller, but maybe that's a thing that they decided on. Maybe Jet Airliner, Take the Money and Run,
The Joker. Yeah, that's...
Fly Like an Eagle.
Fly Like
Great
an Eagle.
Great message in Fly Like an Eagle, right?
Is one of my favorites and reminds me of Space
He's
Jam.
He's like Jesus in that song, man. Yeah, that is a Space Jam, but that's a song that's got a biblical message in it, man. Feed the children... Don't have enough to eat.
Wow. That's I never knew that song, was man. That was from the Bible.
You were just thinking of Babs Bunny.
I was thinking of Michael Jordan.
This is a hot bunny, man. Bunnies could be hot.
Jungle Love, that's another one he's got. Rockin' Me, bunch of good songs.
Oh, yeah. Here. No, man, suspicious. You know what it reminds me of? Like Joe Walsh from the Eagles.
Very similar guys here. I can totally see your connection there.
Yeah. So, totally in. Both give us thumbs up. The next band is Steve's. When Steve feels really down, he listens to Nine Inch Nails.
Nothing gets out your aggression quite like Trent Reznor.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, don't get me wrong, man, I like Nine Inch Nails, but I don't think he knows how to write a song in a major key. Like, everything is minor, brooding, rapping white guy. I know he's an electronic pioneer, and I think he deserves to get in, but not this year.
Blew me away about Nine Inch Nails was that they've been around long enough to be inducted. 25 years ago, what was that, 1990?
Do we have to say they? Because I feel like this is a he. Like, it's just him. He's the only member.
You're right.
It's like if I started a band called The Steves, and I was the only guy in it, and everybody else around me I hired. And I saw videos of the people in his band, and they all seemed super scared to get kicked out of his band. Like, he's not, like, the funnest person to play in a band with. So now, Noah to Nine Inch Nails this year, right?
Yeah, I think back in 1990, he came out with some stuff, and actually some of my favorite stuff is off that. Something else about Nine Inch Nails. Each of their albums are called Halos, and they're still kicking them out. They're up to like Halo 28 now.
Moving on from Nine Inch Nails, NWA.
I put this one down as a maybe. You said yes.
Yeah, I think for sure they get in. I think it's no coincidence that they have, what's it called, out this year?
Straight Outta Compton. Right, they just released a movie, so they're big in the news, but that's not going to guarantee them a spot on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I might be a purist, but give it some time. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is going to open up here in Harlem in 2017, and they'll have their own place.
You mean
for
the Hip Hop Hall of Fame? The Hip Hop Hall of Fame.
Okay. And NWA can probably fall into that category too.
Do you think they're just going to move all the hip hop and rap artists over to the Hip Hop Hall of Fame? Like migrate their stuff
there
and be like,
aren't
you know
many.
What?
Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five was the first hip hop act to be inducted back in 2007. And then since then, we got Run DMC, Beastie Boys, and Public Enemy. Now, Beastie Boys, I can kind of give them more rock than the rest.
But yeah, you're saying maybe not, maybe, like, you think they deserve to be and recognized as pioneers in music, but you don't know if they're going to get in or what. You think they really don't belong? Or do you just think that rap and hip-hop doesn't belong in the Rock Hall? And it's okay if you say yes, I mean.
And I'm going against what I said before, because before I said rock and roll is an attitude. You know, it's a way of being. But to have rap artists in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, even though they might have that rock and roll attitude, it doesn't necessarily mean they belong.
I think they get in because that's that diversity you're talking about, and it's either going to be Los Lobos or NWA. So I think one of those will get in. I think NWA gets a little bit more than the Los Lobos. The subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend, the records I spin again and again and again. Yeah, you're on the other end. Watch your brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing against it while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go. They know others say rhymes but fail to be original.
So what do you think about the Smiths? The Smiths are next on our list, and they've been around for quite some time. They got a bunch of hits behind them. They have a very strong underground following.
Well, we talked about last week, the Sucky Song of the Day. We talked about that guy being a broke-ass Morrissey.
He's a whiner and complainer.
Yeah, these guys to me are like the new wave kings. I just like the way Morrissey sings, even if it's a bunch of ironic lyrics and he's offbeat sometimes, which he does all the time. Like all the time he sings and it's not syncopated with the rest of the band, and I like it.
Maybe that's what I don't like. Recently, I tried to get into the Smiths. I made a real effort to listen to, you know, their biggest albums, and it just didn't click with me. It was just Morrissey whining and complaining all the time. And I get, hey, depressing music is awesome, but something about the Smiths just did not click with me.
I don't think they're that depressing. Like, it's, I don't know. I think a lot of it, if you look into who Morrissey is and like where his lyrics come from, it might change your perspective a little bit of like who he is and like why he writes those kind of things. Like he just lived in this depressing, rainy freaking town in, you know, BF, I can't say the word. But he lived in some depressing part of England where like all you could do is think about this stuff. And I've been waiting all day to say this without hopefully getting under your skin, but I think Johnny Marr has kind of a Beatles quality to his guitar playing. Like really melodic guitar playing. It sounds super shiny and brilliant and kind of takes away all that depressingness that Morrissey's singing about. I think they're a maybe. I don't think they're a shoo-in. You put them down as yes. I think it's a maybe that they get in. I don't know. Like it's they don't fit with the rest of the lineup, I guess. Maybe that's part of it. Yeah.
But that just might work in their favor.
The next band, the Spinners, man.
Hands down, yes.
Talk about it. Yeah, they're so, so awesome.
I don't know why they're not already in there. They've been around forever. And once you start looking at all their songs, it only makes sense that they have a spot in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for sure. When we were at the Rock and Roll Hall and we sat through that video where they go through all the nominees, there's so many bands that come up that they're all the bands. So what are some good songs from the Spinners, Steve? Off the top of the head, or maybe you have a little quoting of them, because I would love to sing along to some of these. These are all singable songs, like classic songs.
Off the top of my head, I can think of I'll Be Around.
Oh, man, that's a great song. It's got that cool little shuffle beat. That Don't you call me, I'll be there. That song is a jam.
I'll be on that. Oh, yeah. They got Working My Way Back to You.
Yeah, that's a good song too. Those are all, that's like a, their songs are totally like they're all breakup songs, really. If you think about it.
Wow.
They all sound like breakup songs, but that's good. And yeah, definitely a classic band. I hope they make it. I hope they get like a Facebook and a Twitter soon, because I think the only social media that they had when I looked them up was MySpace.
Oh, wait, they're the 70s?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not that old like the other bands from the 60s.
I thought these guys were more like 50s. I can't believe that they're this recent.
And I think they're still out there. Like, they're still like doing shows, probably like some kind of theatrical reproduction of a Tyler Perry movie. But that's just what I'm thinking. Is there a crowd?
And they have one of my favorite Motown songs, Cupid.
Oh yeah, totally dope. So we agree they're in. We're down to one last band. We're making a pretty good headway here. Man, we talk a lot about these bands. Bunch of music nerds.
Yes, we have one band left.
Which is Yes. And we both put maybe. I put maybe and then I said sin, because I think it's a sin that they won't get in. Let me just quote an article real quick if I can, Steve, if you don't mind, sir.
Go right ahead.
From NPR's website, right before I talk about their nomination. It talks about how this list seems to pay heed in some manner to the hue and cry of fans over the exclusion of vintage bands from what many see as the golden age of rock and roll.
Golden age again.
The groundbreaking prog rock band Yes, for example, has been eligible for enshrinement since 1994, yet has only one nomination on its resume. They just deserve to get in. And it reminds me of Rush in that they're not the cool band, but they're extremely influential and they're just musically brilliant. I want to say on par with like Pink Floyd brilliance. Like, yes, Pink Floyd, influential type music when it comes to progressive rock.
These guys gave meaning to the word progressive music.
Right.
These guys are always so far ahead of their time. They know how to use their instruments more than anyone else out there.
Right.
And I didn't know this until I started playing Rock Band. And then I played a Yes song and realized they are all over the place and they make it sound amazing.
Right, and like what other best example of a band who's perpetuating rock to reach new heights, right? You know, I just think the music business just always hate on progressive music. And these guys being so progressive have just gotten that short under the stick, right?
Well, this kind of goes in line with your love of Rush, which we discussed last week.
Right. Unfortunately, their most popular, I think, best-selling single was Owner of a Lonely Heart, which is the most annoying Yes song of all time.
It doesn't even go along
any
with
of their other songs. Yes. Yeah, like any of their other songs don't
make
sense. Yeah,
it's very poppy. It's almost like the record company said, all right, you guys are great, and we need to find a way to get your name out there. Just come up with something radio-friendly.
Right. And they're like, oh, we're going to put this bah, 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 bah. It's stupid, like, whatever Casio keyboard setting made that, like, weird sound.
But then you put that side by side with something like Roundabout, which is also pretty popular. And that song is just as progressive as it gets.
Yeah, it's...
That song is, bounces around. It's musical, it's melodic, and at the same time, it's impossible to keep up
with.
Yeah,
and I mean, I've Seen All Good People is
that's
a freaking jam. It's like... such a good rock song, right? And has such a cool feel to it. Steve Howe remains like one of the most underrated guitarists, if not the most underrated guitarist in rock history. Keyboardist Rick Wakeman, bassist Chris Squire, and the double-headed dragon drummers Bill Buford and Alan White, always gonna be regarded as musicians that don't have any peers. I'd say other than Neil Peart on drums, but other than that, like I can't name a guitar.
You go with that Rush again.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Howe is just amazing. Like, I can't really think of another guitarist that plays like him. I put a little chart up here for us to, we'll share it on social media, showing all of the members that have been in Yes and the periods at which they were in Yes and what they did. And it is mind-blowing how many people are in this freaking band over the years.
I wonder how many, if they actually got accepted, how many would show up for their induction speech and who would play on stage. I guess it would just be the most current members.
Right.
But yeah. There's a ton of people.
I believe Chris Squire recently passed away, which is a huge loss. Okay. I don't know how much Yes you've listened to, Steve, but Chris Squire is an amazing bass player, like top tier. And this guy was around to see like Hendrix's first performance in London. And there's a interview where he talks about the bass player for Jimi Hendrix not being able to play All Along the Watchtower. And he was so frustrated with the guy. Was just like, man, I just want to go back there and be like, it's three effing notes. Like, how are you messing this up? Like, it's too easy. But yeah, no, great band. And I hope they do get in. I hope that they get in, if not this year, very, very soon. So yeah, that wraps up all the candidates that we are. I'm sorry, the nominees that we went over. Yeah, you had a little tidbit in here. I don't know if you want to mention it about the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know where that came out of, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
Oh yeah, because it's kind of funny. You have to have your first album out 25 years before your nomination. So most of the time, the inductees are, you know, at least in right. their 40s, let's say. But due to some changes in their lineup back in 2012, the Chili Peppers were inducted, and they had a new guitarist who was much younger than the rest of the band. He was only 32. Josh Klinghoffer is officially the youngest person to ever be inducted. I like your little note here. That doesn't count, and he knows it.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
the same kind of situation that Kiss had a few years ago when they were inducted. You know,
that was really uncomfortable. I remember that whole speech setting. Like, those guys didn't want to touch each other as they went up to the podium. It was like, really? Really? Like, nobody
right.
touched Gene.
So now they have new members in the band, but who's actually inducted? Is it old Kiss or new Kiss? It's just funny that Red Hot Chili Peppers' first album came out when Josh Klinghoffer was 7 years old.
Is his name on the wall? Like, his signature on the wall?
I mean, it's got to be, yeah. He's in the band.
They probably, I think, oh yeah, I remember. I think they put other members too. They put like Hillel Slovak on there, and they put John Frusciante. They put everybody right. who's been in the band, which I guess is cool. I mean, you don't want to like cut the guy short, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know. I don't think he had a decision in that. I think he would have been like, yeah, okay, it's okay if I'm not on the wall. Like, I'm the replacement guy here at the 11th hour. Like, it's okay.
So that is a bunch of stuff on the, not the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but
quick question before we get into the music history portion of our podcast today. What do you think of the nominees this year? You think it's a strong class? You think it's just kind of meh?
I think there are a few strong names in there. I think it's going to be obvious who's going to get in. I think that there are a few bands in here that are kind of filler, that 10 years from now they're going to be like, I guess they belong to be in here. But it wouldn't be my first choice. Because 25 years ago, there are a bunch of other good bands that came
right.
out. And even though they're eligible now, they didn't make the list.
Right.
Black Crowes. Mm-hmm. Came out 25 years ago. Primus, their first album came out 25 years
Primus
ago.
Primus is so progressive. That'll take them years to even get considered, and they're such a cool band. I don't know. I don't know if they deserve to get in, though, but that's just me. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, thank God that Celine Dion didn't get nominated.
Oh, that'll happen.
But her first album came out 25
that'll
years ago.
That'll happen next year. We'll have to deal with that.
This is rock and roll, man. I'd like to be a purist about this. If NWA doesn't get in, Celine Dion doesn't get in either.
That's right. And yeah, so that's like the quickest week in music history segment ever. And what?
Well, that's more like this year in music history. These are all albums that came out 25 years ago that are eligible.
We spent so much time talking about the Rock Hall that you guys already heard a bunch of history. Maybe not from this year or from this week, but or this week in the past years, but it's a lot of history we went over. So I think we could jump into the sucky song of the day, which, man, Steve, a gem. You don't know how how much it hurt to listen to this, because last week I could sing along to it and kind of joke around. This week I was just thoroughly, like, confused with why this was a hit song, what was going on in 1977.
Right, so keeping in line with this being the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame episode, I went through this whole list of nominees and realized some of these have to have some bad music along with them. And of course I went straight to Chic because I can't stand disco. And I'm like, I bet you they have some really sucky songs out there. And it didn't take long before I came across the song Dance, Dance, Dance. Yowza, yowza, yowza. So this is their very first single. This is what put them on the map back in 1977. It reached number 6 on the charts. Which, coincidentally, last week's sucky song also hit number 6.
Maybe there's
in the charts.
If we get a third song that reaches number 6, that'll be 666, and we'll have like a poltergeist on the podcast.
I see what you've done there. Yeah. And so I started, you know, just kind of browsing, looking for sucky songs, and I put this one on and instantly knew that it just sucked.
It's hard. So long. It's 8.5 minutes long.
Yeah, that's the problem. I started listening and I'm like, all right, let me see how this turns out. Maybe it picks up or gets better. And then like 4.5 minutes later, I'm still listening and I'm like, this really sucks. And then I looked at it. It's an 8.5 minute song and it's all disco. And it's like
repetitive.
The worst disco. What caused me to look up like halfway through the song, 4:24 was the point where I noticed like the vocals stop and they have this little instrumental part. And this, I call it the instrumental of suckiness because it almost sounds like modern electronic music. They're using their keyboards and their synthesizers. And it almost sounds like EDM today, but it wasn't. It was like a disco version of it. EDM sucks in its own right. And you just take disco plus EDM, put it together, and this little instrumental portion at 4:24 sucked enough where I'm like, all right, I think we found our song.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. I'm not defending the song at all. Like, I don't know what all electronic music genres are. There's so many of them. Like, I like certain electronic music elements, but you...
Like subgenres.
Yeah, but I usually like ones that have, like, rock instrument integrated into it, so it sounds almost like real instruments being modified. But when it comes to this song, I was just blown away, because, you know, it's like, all right, it's called Dance, 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 Yowza, Yowza, Yowza. And just, you know, I don't know, about 30 seconds in, all of a sudden someone goes, Yowza, Yowza, Yowza. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, doesn't it go with the beat?
Everything about it sucks.
Yeah. I don't even know what the hell this song. Oh, yeah, it's just like, dance, dance, dance. Like, it's like they say dance over and over and over again. I'm like, yeah, okay, enough of that.
Now, there is one saving grace to this song. Maybe two if you want to stretch it. But Luther Vandross gave the backup vocals for this. Luther Vandross is smooth as silk, man. That guy has an amazing voice.
Right.
And I guess back in the day, he rolled pretty tight with Chic.
You said Dance, Dance, Dance. Steve Miller has a song called Dance, 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 and it's much less sucky. It's a much better song. It starts off with something about his dad or something, which I didn't listen to the whole thing because I knew immediately it'd be better. But yeah, no.
Then we've also got Fall Out Boy with their song Dance, Dance. That's only two dances, not Dance, 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 but that's infinitely better.
Is that the song that goes, Dance, Dance? That song?
Yes, that's exactly it.
I didn't, you know, I thought he was saying This Kiss until I found out the song name was Dance, Dance. I can't understand what he's saying. We could go on and on about Fall Out Boy and My Chemical Romance and why I don't like any of those bands.
Hey, maybe we could pick them for Sucky Song of the Day one day.
But The Killers are okay, somewhat, even though they have that one song, but it's not even that bad. I don't know. The Killers are the exception to the rule, but... Anyways, everybody.
Not super sucky.
We're wrapping this puppy up. So, Steve, you got anything else to say?
Well, yeah, I do, actually. Remember to subscribe, share, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Someday maybe we'll get around to making an Instagram or a Tumblr or a Feedly.
If you post a lot of pictures of Cleo or something, maybe we could get popular on Instagram. People love cats.
People love cats. Stick with Facebook and Twitter for now. Follow us. Subscribe to us.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all
and
I got.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to close it off with was yowza, yowza, yowza.
Let's just Peace. Cut it there. Peace. Idiot.